I am Ben Boutei.
And I'm Matt Engstrom, and welcome to the State of CRM podcast. This week we actually have a little bit of a lighter topic, but it's relevant to just about everything we've talked about each week up until this point. So we actually reached out to the marketing team here at Tiny Clues just to find some examples of situations where targeting and automation have gone wrong. Just to prove some of the points that we've been making so far around how set it and forget it methodologies can actually, you know, not always drive the value you're thinking. So we're going to run through some very specific examples. These are all brands we love, but they're just examples of situations where maybe their marketing technology or automation services and solutions aren't necessarily delivering what they're thinking they deliver.
Great. And Matt, just before jumping into this concrete example, for those who are watching us on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe. So click on this button, activate the bell to get notification on new release. If you are listening to us on the podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and a lot of other platforms, I can't remember how many platforms we are on, subscribe, leave a review, leave a comment. We'll be really happy to read us. So Matt, what's your first example?
Awesome. So we're going to start out today by talking about targeting specifically. And we've been talking a lot in the past around the importance of really understanding your customers through data so that you're essentially sending messages for offerings and things that people actually want to buy. And you're keeping your messages relevant. You're doing personalization that actually leads to conversions, et cetera. And we found some interesting examples of where this wasn't necessarily executed so particularly well.
Okay. So example number one.
Number one is Bloomingdale's. So this is an ad for basically a promotion for summer. So summer's coming up. People are headed to the beach. Really, really relevant, really topical. I love Bloomingdale's. I shop there a lot. I buy tons of great things, but the ad is actually targeted to women's swim, and it says, get your merchandise no matter which age. So you can imagine that I'm not necessarily the target. And you could say, well, maybe he buys, women's swim for his girlfriend or his wife. Well, I don't have a girlfriend or a wife, and I've never bought women's swim in my life. So you can imagine that the buying intent is not there. So something's gone awry. Either, they have incorrect data on me, but I definitely also still get targeted ads for things that are relevant to me from them. So they are doing it right as well, but somehow I'm in some journey that's completely irrelevant to me, which means I'm receiving more messages, half of which aren't even something that I would buy. So something to consider there is just making sure that you're keeping your database up to date and that that your journeys and whatnot are optimized towards the audience and what you understand about them.
Yeah, and maybe looping back to one of the episodes we had in the past on unsubscribes, as you said, that you have sometimes good targeting and ads coming up and bad ones. The issue is that due to this bad communication, you will be more likely to unsubscribe and so not receiving the good one. So that's, to the point of marketing is not easy. Automation doesn't help always. Targeting, that's the best solution to do. That's we for those who are listening to us, that we really believe in the hyper targeting and hyper segmentation. But that requires work, and that's not so easy to do, and need to pay attention to how it's deployed actually.
100%, 100%. And again, they do send me tons of communications for things that are relevant, and I love the brand enough where I still engage with those, but that could be enough to oversaturate me and get me to unsubscribe. So excellent point. The second example I have is actually from somebody on the team. Very similar, kind of a targeting flub, along the same lines of gender-based mistargeting, and it says free with $40 plus order. Say no to PDA. Try the total support pouch that puts an end to public display of adjusting. So funny copy. It's for Hanes, so it's really relevant. I think it communicates the value of the product around it, obviously offering support. However, it was targeted to Diana on our team, who in the same situation never bought on men's underwear, has never displayed intent to buy men's underwear. And as a result of that, it's a kind of an awkward ad to get, to be honest. And in this case, really relevant creative copy might kind of do you wrong in a situation where it might actually be somewhat off-putting dependent upon who you're targeting. So just another example of why understanding buying intent and doing the work to be able to use the data that you have to pick up on those signals that actually indicate that, and then making sure that's connected into your automation software or your email platform in a way that you're actually building segments to deliver the messages that you want to the right people. Because for somebody, that would lead to a conversion, but just not in this case.
Yeah, that's, more important than ever. Maybe to follow up, I have an example. I have only one, but that will be longer story. An experience, a journey I had with a brand recently. For the sake of sharing the whole story, I will record my screen so we can put that at the same time in the video.
Great.
The story is easy. The context is I'm client at a sporting goods company. We'll see that on the screen. That's a baseball brand, Rawlings. I love the brands, great products. I'm client for almost 2-3 years now. I had a product to buy. I had actually two products to buy for my son. I came to the website directly, arrived on the website, super nice hero banner for custom gloves. That was not the product I was looking for. Went into this advertising or showcase of product, did some customization on the product, and then abandoned the product because that was not what I went to on the website for. Yeah. That you'll see why I'm giving this detail that on the glove. And the next step is just I'm browsing the website, finding the product, a glove and a bat, exactly what my son needed. Find the product, add that to my cart, and go through the funnel to finish my order, to validate my order.
Yeah.
And at one step, for sure, they're asking me to either create an account or log in. I have an account, I'm a client. I log in into the website, and I finish my order. That's the context. The thing is that immediately after I'm receiving the confirmation of my order. I received the email. Thanks for your order. And this is 9:21 p.m. And that's really important. 1 minute later, so at 9:22, the 8th of May, we can see that on my screen, I'm receiving an email saying a special offer just for you. Great. And the email say that, oh, looks like you already subscribed to our emails. However, we care about you and want you and your athletes to have best gear in the game. So is this offer? You can, if you do a purchase of $35 plus, you get a free t-shirt or whatever. Blah, blah. Fine. I like the idea. I mean, the marketing journey that is behind that, I like the idea that they are not providing an offer or a gift or something only to new subscribers. They actually thought about sending an offer for new subscriber, and when they detect that the user is already subscribed, they also have an offer for them. So that's the intent is really good. The issue I have, I mean, the problem is that this email arrived after my order because what is missing, the missing piece in this trigger is that what triggered this email for me is the fact that I actually ordered something. So I end up by having an order, receiving an offer to incentivize me to do an order, but too late to get the gift. So a little bit of frustration. And that's not all. I mean,
just the beginning.
That's just the beginning. And again, that's the intention was good. In the first place, I can see how the intention is good, but little leak on the trigger or the scenario, something that is not going right. 1 hour later, 10:21 p.m., I'm receiving this email asking me, let us know what you think of your new. I'm making a pause because something is missing. I mean, the subject line is empty, something wrong, I don't know. I open the email anyway. And guess what? That's an email that say in the banner, thank you for your order. Okay, so far, so good. Would love to hear what you think. My first reaction is that they're asking me a review on the product I just ordered. My first reflex is that where is my shipping tracking? But 1 hour later, on the Sunday, actually, I'm not expecting that. And when I read the detail, the funny part is that they're asking me, they are saying, thank you for your order. We'd love to have your review on the custom glove I was talking about. I never purchased it. So the trigger is that 1 hour after created a product, a custom product, so that's necessarily an abandoned card trigger. They send the email with the wrong banner. I think that's copy paste of the template. I'm sorry, but thank you for your order. I ordered nothing, not this product at least. And just by the way, the link to review the product and leave a review when I click arrive on the 404 page, that is nothing. So very bad experience 1 hour later when I just order something. That's, so again, something that's in the intent and the design of the workflow is good, but somewhere one behavior, mine in this case, doesn't match the ideal scenario of the workflow, of the trigger, and make a bad experience, actually. I'm more worried seeing that, oh, did they really validate my an order for a glove that, by the way, is $400 that I did not intend to purchase, or that's just a bad message at the wrong time. And again, that's still not finished. I have some notes because the timeline is just crazy. 2 days later, 9:32. So in the morning, a newsletter that looks just classic. The content is about product I saw. The glove, different categories. Just to mention that the personalization module where I have some product presented say that, I think you love this gear. All the product I visited, the product page I visited when I ordered 2 days before, and part of them product I already bought 2 days before. I'm not even delivered on them. Why do you think that I will be interested by these products? Yes, I am. I ordered them 2 days ago. So just, send them to me. I paid for it instead of saying that you might be interested. Yeah, for sure, I'm interested. Just connect the dot. And that's not real time. That's not an issue of updating the data. That's, you are not just filtering the information. You have it. That's in the data, in the database. Just the engine is just not.
It's a misalignment of triggers,
exactly.
Basically.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a mistake on that part. In the same day, so 2 days later after my order, and exactly 48 hours after the trigger for the custom glove that said thank you for your purchase that I never purchased, I received the same exact email. So that's just showcase, illustrate that it's a workflow of abandoned card. Let's say 1 hour later, you send an email saying that you want me to purchase it. The content, the template, I think is the wrong one. And 48 hours later, I'm receiving the same. So all of that is that my point is, I know and I see because that's my job. I'm doing the same work. So I know that the intent is positive. The intent is to do a good experience, to generate maybe more revenue with some triggers, to have a good to provide a good experience for customers. But at the end, it's not. And my main issue, well, the thing that we mentioned, and the main issue for everyone listening to us is that that's barely not detectable. Because what's happening is that the statistic, my open, my click, the thing I did in this email, they are aggregated in the stat of the day. So that means the trigger that say, oh, you already subscribed to the newsletter, maybe you will be interested by this t-shirt. I opened it, I clicked into it.
Suggest you're highly engaged.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that was too late, by 1 minute. And the other issue is that it can even be worse. Maybe this email I opened and clicked will get the revenue of my order 1 minute before attributed to it, because if the timestamp is not at the second level and just at the minute or the hour, the post-open, post-click will be at the same time as my order. So this trigger is working very well. We send this email, Benoit opened it, clicked on it, and we have an order. Yeah, but the order of the thing is just in a time of 1 minute and not the right order. So yeah, again, the conclusion on my example is that it's really hard to control. The thing is that we were saying one of our first episodes on personalization and automation, that's not necessarily the silver bullet. We can, as a marketer, we can bring some good experience. The issue is that we can't control all scenarios. How to test that, how to detect this issue. And so instead of being and continuing to improve and being a marketer, it's live, it's running. We see that the statistics are showing that email are going out, open and clicked, and we are not identifying any leak, if I can call that a leak of triggering, any bad experience, because none of the statistics and analytics will show that.
Yeah.
Because I'm still opening and clicking. That's providing this bad feeling.
Yeah, and what you're saying, I mean, who knows how many people this is happening to as well.
I don't know.
And with the timestamp issue, it's messing up their attribution.
Exactly.
So suggesting that this campaign actually might be working, even though the triggers and the journey is completely broken. It's like you're on a journey's been created for you, but it's the wrong journey in a certain situation. And the timing is broken. And to your point, it's like from an attribution revenue perspective, they're gonna actually think this is incredibly successful, at least from your particular data inputs, because you engaged with everything.
Yeah, exactly. And so just don't get me wrong, if someone at Rawlings listening to me, I love the products, they are awesome, I love the brand, but some improvement can be made on the email part.
Maybe double check with your automation company.
Yeah, yeah. And I can send some example and details if you want.
Sounds good.
Matt, you had another example, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I have a couple left, actually. So the next one I'm going to talk about is actually Volkswagen. And I know it's funny, like these are all brands we actually really like. I've owned two Volkswagens. I love the cars. If I ever get a car again in the future, I will likely buy another one. But the issue is, so I've been targeted with Volkswagen ads for a long time now, ever since I purchased my first one, like way back in the 2000s. But the issue is for the last 8 years, I haven't owned a car. I used to live in LA. That's when I owned my two Volkswagens, and then I moved to New York. I don't actually even have an active driver's license anymore, and so I'm not expecting them to know that. But for 8 straight years, they've been targeting me with ads for Volkswagen. The most recent one is for a Memorial Day sales event, offering me, I believe, a deal. It looks like either on a Passat or a Jetta. And the issue being is like, I can't own a car right now, nor do I want to. I live in New York and I take public transportation everywhere. But I also haven't shown any interest in the last year in purchasing one. This is the first email from Volkswagen I've actually opened in 8 years. So it's not so much a targeting issue as like I am actually, from a brand advocacy perspective, a good target. I love the brand and I would be likely to buy another one of them in the future. The issue being is I've shown literally no intent over the last 8 years. So something in their data should be suggesting that right now I'm not in the market to buy. And this is something that we actually are talking about on our last podcast, and we were comparing it to sort of the dating situation where you can't just hit someone up over and over and over again with no reply and expect some sort of different reaction. And the fact is my inbox is filled with emails from them over the past few years. And this could, you know, like if we extrapolate this out to other consumers, could be like some of the things you were talking about. I could unsubscribe, or I could even go so far as to say, like, you know what, this has been a really bad experience. I think I might go a different direction when I purchase a car in the future. And again, like, love Volkswagen, think they're great. But I think, like, from a targeting perspective, what they really need to do is use their data effectively so that they're using their efforts to reach the people that are in market for that particular car at that particular time.
So talking about the last episode with Melissa Berger at Digitas, we were talking about the platinum rule, how to bring back the relationship in CRM, the R of the CRM, to bring back that's really in center of the practice. I mean, listen to it. That's really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And the platinum rule, for those of you who don't know, is basically, it's a play on the golden rule. Instead of treating others how you would like to be treated, it's treating others how they would like to be treated, which requires an understanding of the person. In this case, if you apply it to the Volkswagen example, understanding that I'm probably not currently in the market for a car, and it's probably okay to stop sending me messages, preserving their database, and reaching out to me again in the future when I've displayed some sort of intent that would suggest that maybe now is the right time for them to communicate. So,
cool. I think we have no other example for today.
I've got one more, actually.
You have one more?
Yeah.
Bonus.
It's a bonus example, and it's actually a little bit of a different one. I think we've been talking a lot about email.
Yeah.
This is actually a push notification. So
correct.
Yes.
I forgot about this one.
So this is, I got a push notification. I have the Drizzly app on my phone. Big fan of Drizzly. It's basically an alcohol and spirits, the beer, wine. I'm not being paid to promote them, but I really do like them. Got me through the pandemic. But I have the app on the phone, so I get push notifications from them, which I don't mind at all. And usually their targeting is pretty good. I get emails as well, really relevant products. The push notification says, it's 4 p.m. on a Friday. Do you know where your weekend drinks are? Reality is I didn't. And that actually would be really relevant, especially if it was looking to pick something up for a party or to have guests over. The only issue is this arrived on a Thursday. Right time, a day earlier. So I think here in this situation, there's obviously some sort of trigger that was like misaligned. Either they had sort of like there's 30 days in some months and 31 in the other. So maybe they were off by a week. We'll see if they've fixed it this week or not. But, you know, that one timing flub, you know, may not seem like a big deal, but I love the idea of doing that. Like if 4 p.m., starting to get off work, you know, like, what am I doing this weekend? Hitting you in the right mindset. It's just, if it's a day earlier, it's not going to be effective. So
yeah,
they're losing an opportunity.
Another automation blooper in a way that evergreen campaigns, they are effective, but there are some tricks to avoid. So I mean, that's not always easy. We know that all of the things that we are talking, that happened to a lot of brands. I mean, there is no offense on the fact that there are some mistakes. The marketer jobs in CRM, that's not easy. That doesn't mean we need to rely on automation for everything. And so that's mainly, that was our topic today. Maybe, I mean, we'll do if you like it and you have other, if you liked it, let us know. If you have example, we are, happy to see that, to discuss these examples and just sharing it. Show that's that happened to a lot of brands, not a big deal, but we need to work on that, all of us as marketers, to be sure that we are doing our job of marketer and not just setting up platform or automation rules that work in 90% of the time. 10% of the time the experience is not good, so that's an issue with a part of our base.
Yeah, that's a huge potential loss in opportunity. And again, these are examples that we just sourced from the team over the last week.
Yeah,
you know how many and more are out there.
Yeah, yeah. So we won't go every week on new automation bloopers, but maybe we'll come back with some others in some weeks after some episodes.
Sounds great.
See you soon, and until next week and next episode, improve your marketing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.